This is the Press Conference Podcast, episode 67, mixtape 25. I'm your host, Dave, and I'm here with my co-host, Phil. How's it going, mate?
Very good. We have had a monster week, and it's just, it's Sunday. It's been a big week, and yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been, yeah, as you said, this weekend's had me a little frazzled. Like, the socials have been going off. We're getting emails and everything. It's just been overstimulating, actually.
So we had, obviously, the episode last week. We spoke about a heap of announcements. Mm-hmm. We launched our website. We launched our second run of tees. But most importantly, in partnership with Anti-Vinyl Club, Stiff Cut Records, Summer Distro, and two amazing bands in Keepsake and Saving Face. We are part of that physical release for their latest EP, split EP. We had a physical copy. And as of this morning, when we're recording this intro, it's sold out. So thank you very much to everyone who picked up a copy.
It's actually mind-blowing. Like, we were talking off the pod, and I don't know if this is out of turn, but we were both very nervous about this release and whether it would actually do any good, and we've been blown away.
I mean, look, when you've got amazing bands and amazing labels to kind of leverage on the back of, I mean, being invited into the fold, I always had a bit of confidence that we'd at least sell the copies, and look, we didn't have a heap of copies to sell. But seeing who bought copies as well, like, we had random people from all around the world, right? Whether or not they're label VCs or love the band or whatever, it felt good to know that it wasn't just our family and friends buying stuff. And, you know, we put a lot of time into that cover, a lot of thought. I mean, it doesn't look like much on the outside, but when we were asked to be included in this, you know, we really wanted to have a specific vision of what we wanted to do when it comes to this stuff. And we're really proud of it. So I'm glad it sold. I can sleep well now, but yeah.
Yeah, and the bands are happy with it too. So that's all we want at the end of the day, is the bands to be stoked, the bands to get their music out there, and I can't wait to hear these songs on a physical format.
They'll be physical only. So if you missed out on our copy, that's fine. I think Stiff Cut sold out today as well with all their crazy Madman Field records. But you can still get copies as of today on Any Vinyl Vinyl Club and Summit Distro. Any Vinyl Vinyl Club have the Sassy Sriracha alt cover, and Summit have obviously got their clean Obi strip. That's come a bit of a staple from their releases. So go and check out those stores and pick up a copy if you've missed out. Because yeah, Keepsake and Saving Face are doing amazing things. And you don't want to miss out.
You do not.
Before we kick on to the guest today, I also want to thank everyone who's picked up a t-shirt. We know not everyone who listens to this pod are vinyl heads. And so just seeing all the first week of pre-orders that have gone up and people buying t-shirts is just so, I mean, it makes me all warm and fuzzy inside to know that people will support us. So thank you so much to anyone who's picked up a piece of merch. They'll be open for another month. And yeah, if you haven't picked one up, get around it.
And I'd like to thank you, Phil, for putting through the Magpie variant, the old black and white.
If that just so happens to get cancelled before we go to print, you can thank Dave for that, because you're a bastard.
I didn't realize it until we got in there, but grab a tea, grab the bone colored one, please.
I will just say the bone colored tea is actually tied for the worst selling at the moment now that we've had a few other sales lift up. So just saying.
That's why I'm asking.
Anyway, let's move on to today's guest. You can obviously tell by the thumbnail, the title of the episode. We had Josh and Rick from Glow join us this week. On Friday just past, they had their new EP, And All That We Are Is Nothing We Dreamed Of. We talk about it. It's a metalcore record, but it's got a bit of flair. It's not what you think. It's not generic metalcore. It's got some flair. And, you know, I think it's a great EP.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm so glad that the guys came in, had a chat with us. It was a great chat. And there's layers to this. So give it a few listens, because you'll be hearing new stuff every time.
We'll drop a track at the start before we cut into them, just to give you a bit of a flavor of what's happening. But yeah, this was such a fun chat. Go and check out the boys' EP. I know they've got some stuff cooking with gigs that we'll link around. But yeah, thank you so much for listening.
So we're here with Josh and Rick from the band Glow. How's it going, fellas?
Yeah, not too bad, boys. How are you traveling?
Yeah, doing good. I'm so stoked to have you guys on. When you sent through that email, that was actually our first email through the website as well. So thank you. Oh. I'm glad that worked.
No stress.
Good to be the beta testers.
Yeah, 100%, right?
I didn't even realize that we'd had the website available for anyone at that point as well.
Because
we just saw the email come through and I'm thinking, did we post this somewhere?
Good find.
Yeah, indeed. Well, because as I sent it to, I was like, well, maybe I should have just direct messaged him. Like, is this going to be a thing where I've just sent it out and they're like, why is this guy not just messaging us directly? What's going on here? Yeah.
We battle with that. We're like, send a DM and then ask for an email. I think emails are a bit easier to keep track of.
Especially Yeah.
So it was the best way to do it, I think.
I think for our first year and a bit, we were DM kind of podcasts,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
Every other band was like, can you email us? And we should really get on top of this, hey?
Get that professionalism out of here.
Yeah, for real.
But email's just so formal. Like, I'm still not used to it. I feel like every time I write an email, it's just a bit too... I just got to get it all out.
No, dude, I get that, man. Because every time I write through an email, I'll just go to talk how I usually talk. Like, hey, yeah, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, man, do I sound like an idiot?
I think that's the way to do it. I think you'd rather be that than be too formal.
100%, because then it's like, oh, is this guy I'm talking to going to be like a prick? Like, yeah.
That's sick. So, so you guys kind of launched a band about May last year, is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, yeah. Rick and I started like working on the stuff probably a little bit before that, but then, yeah, I'd say May we like put everything out and we just wanted to make sure we had all our kind of, I guess, behind the scenes stuff done.
We'd, cool. Initially, I think it was it 2021 or two? It was in between a lockdown when the only thing you could do would be like hang out outside. And me and Josh were like cruising in the car and he was like, oh, I've been writing some stuff, do you want to hear it? And I went, oh yeah, sounds good. And he showed me, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. He's like, oh, do you want to do a band with it? And I was like, because, you know, mid-pandemic we're all like, yeah, quitting music, I'm, you know, trying to set up a real life. And then Josh was like, do you want to do this band? I was like, oh, what say ye, let's do it.
Well, that was the other thing too with band, like, hey, I have some songs. I really didn't, I had some scrap demos that I was like, oh, I'll ask him and see if he says yes. So I probably won't. So it doesn't matter if I just show him some rubbish. And then like a couple of days later, he's like, hey, yo, you like, can you send me those songs? I was like, yeah, of course. And then I got on the phone, I'm like, shit, I gotta write some songs. And
yeah, you're like, oh yeah, I have like three songs.
Yeah,
and I had like nothing. You had like one and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so bad. Good. I love that shit. I mean, lockdown was so crazy. I mean, so what were you guys doing before Glow? Like, were you guys in other bands or just hoped to be in bands? Or, like, what was your...
Yeah,
what were you guys doing?
We were, like... Oh, we started doing stuff when we were, like, real young, like 16 or so, and just played in, like, hardcore bands or thrash bands. And this is our first venture into doing this kind of music. Right. Like, doing, like, metalcore and all that stuff. Usually it was just a lot more, like, a straight-up 2.5 minute... Well, if I can speak for myself, anyway, like, 2.5 minute, just really fast... really sloppy, but then like the only thing that was fine-tuned in it was I had to make sure I played excellent. Like, I had to be the best lead player for some reason, but then I go back and hear it and I'm like, ooh. Like, try playing in key, brother.
But we were just exploring new ground. It was the key of H.
Yeah, for real. but yeah, just like, just real fast. Like, yeah, thrash or punk stuff was kind of what I was doing earlier. And then,
yeah, I was, I wouldn't say a journeyman because none of my bands really left, left much, but you know, similar sort of things. Started off playing real traditional, like metal, thrash, moved on to, I don't know, more like, I guess, you know, metal, you know, heavy metal of the time. This was like 2015-ish. Did like an experimental rock band for a bit. Played in like a real like Title Fight style emo band. All that. Did, you know, a couple of like interstate trips with a thrash band. And it was so strange. Literally like January 2020, I was like, all right, I'm finishing up. Like, not finishing up, but like, wrapping up with all my bands. Nah, don't really want to do anything. Got married, all that sort of stuff. And then a couple of months later, it was like, by the way, you can't do any bands because no venues are open.
Yeah,
and it was like, which at first I was like, oh, this is sick. I can, you know.
This is my out.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, boys, can't do much. But yeah, so, you know.
When, because there would have been, like, 2022 when I actually did this, you know.
Around then.
Yeah. Which, yeah, so we had a good little break. Because I did a similar thing. I was just like, sick of this, like taking a break for a bit. And then it really like relied on like starting Glow was in my ear. It was like, well, if Rick says yes, I'll do something else, but if he says no, then yeah, I'll just play guitar in my own time, or like not worry about doing a band thing kind of thing, just to, I don't know, maybe do some dumb covers from time to time, or be like, yeah, here's this song but I've made it worse, like just that kind of thing. Like,
think of the time we would have saved if I just be like, ah, no, we're not together.
Yeah, for real, right?
glad I didn't. But boy, you know that thought.
So I mean, what? if you guys started talking about that like doing this band in what 2020 whatever in between the lockdown, how did you guys then go about like fleshing out the rest of the band, getting other members in? Did you know those guys, or did you, or like audition people, or how was that?
So yeah, we knew them. We knew Sanford, our drummer, better than we knew Doug, our vocalist, because he kind of like played in bands, like we'd played shows where he was playing and like vice versa and stuff, mm-hmm. like years prior and stuff. But Doug, our vocalist, I met just at like a, I don't know, someone's house at whatever time of the morning once. And yeah, for like 5 minutes, and then just like, yeah, kept that in the back of my brain. And then when it came time to find a singer, I was like, oh, I think I might have a guy. But we initially had another guitarist as well, like
oh, a friend Mario.
Yeah, good friend Mario, who yeah, when I told him like Rick and I are doing something, he's like, oh, cool. And like, yeah, can I play guitar as well? I'm like, yeah, sweet. And he was like, even after he left, he'll still come play guitar with us and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, if like we're stuck on whatever in a song, like yeah, it's like, it's cool, he'll still come hang out with us and write some stuff. But yeah, kind of knew everyone still. And Sanford messaged Rick about you.
I was at work and he just messaged me like, oh, because we yeah, played in bands adjacent to each other for years, and shared mutual interest in like Melbourne hardcore, New York hardcore, that sort of thing. And he just messaged me one day going, oh, are you doing anything music wise? I was like, oh, that's actually really funny you say that, because I now, you know, we have 5 tracks now doing this with Josh and Mario. What do you reckon? Send that through. He's like, yep, cool. If you'll have me, I'm in. And I was like, fantastic. That was super easy.
Yeah, finding the drummer is always fun. So it was nice that one just fell into our lap. Yeah.
It was very, yep. I mean, similar with Doug, our vocalist too.
Mm, yeah.
Like you said, you just met him one night.
Yeah, briefly, yeah.
And then years, you know, I'm guessing months or years later, just been like, oh, do you want to do a band? He's like, oh, yeah, cool. Like,
yeah,
that never happens.
No, as we get it really. Yeah.
That's true. That's like, out of all the bands we've kind of, yeah, spoken to, have none of them really had anyone fall into their lap quite that easily. No. So yeah.
especially drummers and vocalists, they're hard to come by.
For real, dude. Like, it was such a, like, even as what was happening, we're like, huh, oh, okay, I was expecting to do this for way longer.
the only curveball, not really a curveball, but Josh and I are both based in Ballarat, and Doug and Sanford are both in Melbourne. So the only real, I guess, initial hurdle was A, getting together between everyone either dodging COVID or lockdowns. Was also like, oh, we need to book a space to go to. Oh, there's none in Ballarat, except for the one place which we won't talk about because that was a scarring experience at best. Well, it was like poor Doug's first prac with us too.
Yeah.
We're like trying to work out vocals and this dude just kept like smoking hella weed and like recording us and stuff and then playing it back and we're just like, help me.
That was a really odd experience.
We've moved past that. We've grown. We've flourished.
Because there's nothing quite like hearing you trying to like get your songs tight and then hearing how bad you just played back to you. It's very demoralizing.
But otherwise, I mean, it's been pretty smooth sailing since as far as being able to get all together.
Because
obviously we can just travel up together to Melbourne. Makes it easy.
Yeah, nice. So, you released the first single, "Blessed Be the Faceless Soul," shortly after launching the band, and then you played a show with Inhibitor pretty much straight after that. How was that for you guys?
Yeah, that was cool, man. That was good. I'm just trying to remember because I was a little bit
juiced up.
Yeah, like Inhibitor that night. But I remember having a lot of fun, dude. Like it was real cool to after like. Obviously taking a break and playing live for a bit. Really cool to be like kind of back to them. Like, that's right, I love this. And like all the bands played with were like unreal. It wasn't like just a jump on whatever show and then be like, oh, we're the one heavy band or we're the one whatever. Like suited real well. Everyone was real nice. It was a blast. Like, that was super fun.
It was I wouldn't say a baptism of fire, but it was our first time playing live with clicking tracks and stuff. Like Josh was saying, right. We're all used to real kind of DIY, which we're still DIY to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But, you know, real just like, all right, we'll play off each other, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
Trying to just get our heads around, all right, drummer's got a click, we've got tracks. If we're out, people will know. Play good. And we're just like, oh, no. But it was good. It was really fun.
For real.
How do you find playing with tracks? Because I only really learned about this recently and I just can't imagine how I'd lose focus.
I don't mind it. Like, I actually kind of like coming into it now, I kind of prefer it because I don't know, everything's so, as long as we play well, everything's so perfect, like bang on the money that, I actually probably, I wouldn't say prefer it because there's like there's a good spot for like everything kind of thing, like depending on what you're doing or what you want to do. But for this band, I much prefer doing it than if we tried not to. I think it wouldn't go quite as well. Yeah.
Well, it's fairly technical, isn't it? So like the music you're playing now. So
yeah.
if you kind of go off on a tangent or something like that, it's kind of hard to bring it back in.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah.
Which is good. It stops. I'm a chronic rambler. If they put a microphone in front of me, I'm saying something. And it's probably mumbled and silly. So it's actually kind of good to be like, all right, there's only about 30 seconds. I better keep this thought brief and try not to say anything too outrageous sort of thing.
I made like a super mix from a live show that the only audio is just Rick's microphone of all his like yapping in between songs. And there were some humdingers in there. Like, he was cooking that night. Like,
I got... I think it was the last Ballarat show we did. I got too excited and I was meant to be like, make this place look like a Macca's at 6 PM. But I just got way too like adrenalized and I was just like, make this place look like a Macca's. I genuinely saw people like shrug shoulders, go, what the hell?
What's this game
so on? Good.
Someone say I was cooking. I was saying I should have got out of the kitchen.
Yeah, he was cooking and got us all food poisoning.
That's so good. I have a little treasure trove of quips in between songs and stuff from our recordings as well. That makes it a lot of day.
It's like it's one of those scenes where it's like you wouldn't even know if other people would find it funny, but like us two here in the back was like, this is comedy gold. Like, these are the funniest things. Yeah.
And that's then arguably the best and most detrimental thing about the band is we just do stuff that we find funny. Like, we, you know, Buddy Holly fill in songs where they're not meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that comes up a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best. I love that shit. I mean, somewhere, Dave, you've got so much of dumb shit we've said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it. You got to keep it stored for a rainy day. Yeah,
release the.
We'll definitely release it all one day.
Exactly. Yeah. Please do.
Give me that Snyder cut.
So like in October last year, you released Bad Juju, and then Kavalia.
Yeah, how do you say that? Yeah. I'm glad you said it, Dave.
Really, a really good swing, honestly. That was
a great go. I still stuff it up.
So I guess through like those tracks coming out, and obviously these tracks will be on the EP that came out last Friday, if you're listening to this, because we'll drop this on Tuesday. What was the writing process like? I mean, you mentioned you had some demos and you built up some tracks. How long have you been sitting on this music for?
I reckon we finished the demos, our initial demos, I reckon early, like 2022, we kind of had everything lined up.
Sorry,
23. No.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Started 23, yeah.
Yeah, kind of did that. We took them to Kai Blomley.
Mm-hmm.
Does excellent work.
Yes, we're very, because he kind of heard him and went, all right, this is good. Let's not repeat this a million times. Let's add a section here and not just repeat. Let's, you know, maybe add a vocal instead of just riffing. And we're like, all right, I'll concede that one. You're right. and that was really good. And he was great for, because we recorded with him as well. He was really good for just being like, that was good. You can do better. And I was like, okay, I'll pay that.
For real, yeah.
Let's keep going. So. I was checking the other day, the Google Drive with the finals, that was done like 8 months ago.
We
got that all back 8 months ago, and it was kind of like, all right, how do we start kind of drip feeding this? Which was good and bad, because like we were saying, when you sit on something for so long, I had a really good quote the other day from the singer of Incendiary, I think. It's like when you order food, and it takes forever, and you're like, I don't even know if I want like Hungry Jack's anymore. And you get to it, and it's cold. And to someone else, it might be like fresh and exciting, but for us, we're like, yeah, we've been playing these songs for literal years. And we're excited to do something else. But at the same time, like, I know I was doing some good reflection the other day, and I was like, no, I am proud of this because we did most of this ourselves. Good DIY. Yeah. It was just a bunch of friends coming together, trying to write something that was exciting for us.
Mm.
That we sort of felt wasn't, I wouldn't say wasn't catered, but just adding all our favorite things together.
Yeah, kind of doing like, it's like metalcore and stuff, like, and well, like deathcore in particular, like, is like a fair bit of what we listen to, but like, in saying that, it's like, I don't know, we're just as, like, there's just a bigger chance we're going to be sitting there listening to some, like, folk thing on the way to Bandprac or a Radiohead album or something. So just adding in anything that it was like, even if it didn't make sense to, like, if someone else hears it and's like, no, this is horrible. We're like, no, this sounds cool to us. So, like, I just wanted to play this. So
exactly.
I'm going to, going to do it. It might work, might not. Yeah, like, we'll go from there, yeah.
Well, speaking about, like, the genre kind of labelling thing, I was talking to Phil earlier and we're like, we can't put a finger on what you guys are. I think that's awesome.
Oh, because thanks. Let's go. I appreciate that so much. Yeah, I love that.
We're back.
Because it's just so cool to hear all those elements that you're talking about, especially when we get to the songs a little bit later. You can feel the different influences coming in, and it's refreshing. It's fresh. It's so good.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate that heaps. Yeah,
it's cool to hear. Because like we were saying, we're sitting here like, oh man, these songs, like...
And like, you always think, like, Hopa kind of thing, like, might always sound like it to you, but it's like, oh, well, this, what other people think it's this way? So it's cool to know that, like, it does it's come across, good, yeah.
I just wish I got into, I've been really into, like, yacht rock and jazz fusion. I really wish I had been into that, like, when we were writing, just try and shoehorn some real...
Bro, we could have really hit some Creed wonders in there.
Oh, yeah. Been, like,
3 months later, right? Like, I'll learn how to yearl instead of doing all my falsetto stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the EP then for a minute, because, yeah, to that point, I think... I mean, you guys, like, were talking about doing the metalcore thing. It just didn't... it felt like metalcore, but it felt different. I feel like metalcore, especially lately, has kind of gotten to this period where it can be a bit samey, but I just felt that a lot of it was really fresh. And I think, Dave, you mentioned those elements. And we always talk about the softer parts of records being just as important as the heavy. I feel like that's what really makes the record, if I'm being honest. It kept drawing me back in as the whole record plays.
Yeah, well, that's how kind of we think of it too. Like, yeah, every element's just as important as the next. Like, one of my favorite bands, like, for instance, is going off what you're saying about the metalcore getting a bit samey thing. One of my favorite bands is Alpha Wolf. But then, like, I want to hear Alpha Wolf play Alpha Wolf, not someone else play Alpha Wolf.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, I think it's like, it's always important to find just whatever it is that's kind of unique to you, whether it's that way. Like, for us, we like doing the softer, kind of weirder stuff, as well as doing like the stuff that is influenced, obviously, by like an Alpha Wolf or a Sworn In or Lowe's was a big one for us.
I Lowe do it so well.
For like, real, 100%.
Their albums are fucking great.
Oh, dude, right? Like the masters of it. I remember us hearing that and being like, what?
I was going to say like that, that Sub-Zero Baritone company must have been rubbing their hands together when they heard that album. They were like, we are going to sell some guitars.
We are making bank. We're getting out of the postcode with this one, fellas.
That's like, I think a big part of our ethos was kind of translating what we all enjoyed. Because even like a lot of, you know, again, I think it shows in a lot of the songs we sort of put forth for the mixtape. It was translating what we enjoy through the lens of what we feel like glow can be. So, like, for instance, the title track of the EP, Josh wrote, and then I helped arrange a little bit at the end. I just yelled, "Make it purple." I don't know. I didn't do much, but I feel like that's got a real like kind of Radiohead feel from my eyes, and like that's kind of how it feels. It's like Radiohead through the lens of what we do, or stuff like that, kind of in the same way that like a Turnstile might take New Wave and put it through the lens of Turnstile. We kind of try to use that same ethos, and I think we did pretty well for our first go. There's some unreleased demos that I believe will never see the light of day, of just some real humdingers, but
yeah, there's some stinkers in there.
Anyway, I'll keep my reservations. There's one song I want to release so badly, but I keep getting shot down. But
it's the worst thing you ever hear. Rick lovingly entitled it "Devil Sex Magic."
It's a real like new metal Rob Zombie type beat. I can see the vision sort of thing, but it look. Objectively, it's terrible, but I like it.
That's good B-side material right there.
For real, right? That's going to be the name of our like memoirs one day.
Yeah. We were floating doing it as like an April Fool's, like just chuck some real half vocals on it. And like, yep, here's our new direction. But it might be a hit, is all I'm saying. So we did. Yeah.
I was going to ask about that track, actually, because I think that track is probably my favorite on the record. And I think Dave and I, we always talk about closers, and we find that they just bring something different to a song. But if I'm correct, like, you use samples in that song, right?
So the start of it, I just wrote down it was literally just random words off the top of my head to kind of like, I knew the idea of what I wanted to go for, and these were just the words that popped in. I found one of those like text to voice things. Yeah.
Right.
And like, yeah, just recorded the robot lady voice and then put it in Logic and was like, I'm just going to put these together and chop it up and make it sound like a dying radio or something.
Because I was trying to figure out what the fuck, like, what it felt familiar, but I didn't know it, right?
For real.
And
I'm thinking,
and I want to ask, because we actually haven't had a band on, I think, that's done samples or something like that. In track. So you did that yourself. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's just a little like, because I think the one thing I kind of more just stole it from was that Radiohead. What's that song called? Fitter, Better, Happier.
Fitter, Happier, Faster, Stronger.
But yeah, that kind of like, I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. I'm gonna jack that. But then like the whole song itself, I had like that tiny intro bit, and I wrote it as like my, I guess, ode to science fiction movies, like to start with. I was like, there's this theremin plugin. I'm gonna try that. And yeah, and then just went from there. And then that, like, I don't know what you call it, radio announcement thing in the middle was just Rick and I, like, riffing. Because, like, Mario and I had, like, wrote the speech, and then Rick and I both recorded the, I can't even remember how it goes now, but we're like, yeah, we'll just see which one ends up on the EP. We'll send them both to Kai and whichever one he drops in. And
I think we're both on there.
Oh, we're both on there, aren't we?
I think.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
yeah. That, well, we have more similar voices than I had thought.
But that's probably my favourite song out of the lot as well. But that one was definitely it was a bit of a labour of love at, like, certain points after a while. I've been like, I don't know where to go next with this. But, yeah, when I, like, that one, I'll still hear back and be like, nice, good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. It really builds really well. And
thank you.
Yeah, we both love closers.
Same, man. They're important to the
round
it out, right?
We did a Spotify playlist all together of, like, all right, because we kind of had the intention of writing a closer. Mm. And we made that Spotify playlist. So, like, all right, what closers do we like and why? And we kind of initially used that to sort of build some of the structure and some of the ideas. And then, yeah, I remember one of the... because usually when Mario doesn't join us for songwriting, we can get a little bit
goofy,
distracted, start writing ridiculous stuff and go... Like 20 minutes later, we're like, oh, this actually objectively is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that one was just us, and we just kind of... You kind of had it to a certain point, and we just sort of arranged the rest with...
yeah, that's right.
So, like, this is good, repeat that here.
Yeah, I had some bits just scattered. Yeah. And like, how do we put this together?
But yeah, it was cool. It was cool to kind of look at what we wanted to do, which was a closer, also a science fiction story that also was about, I believe, like, feeling, you know, isolated and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was like the lyrics were like, yeah, just like big metaphor things. So it was like, right about your usual stuff that heaps of bands write about, like their anxiety or not feeling like you fit in. But I was like, hey, this is a space sound and song. I could pretend I'm an alien.
Yeah.
Right from that perspective. Like,
people we've heard from, what about the extraterrestrials? What's their take?
Yeah, for real, right?
How do they feel about being outed by the US government?
Oh, man. Yeah, 100%, right?
That's how you know, like, something else is going down, and they're like, yo, we got an alien. It's like, yeah, cool, we had a whole, well, you know, we've had a lot of stuff happen. You're going to have to pull out some real big guns if you want to scare us.
Yeah, where's my notepad? I got to write a song down real quick.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
So the first year of the band, it's like pretty... been pretty good for you guys. So supporting Nicolas Cage Fighter, Furious George, and then the EP now. So the big plans for 2024, like some big tours and stuff like that?
We've got a couple of shows coming up, but other than that, we're pretty much jumping back into, hopefully soon, recording again. And,
all right.
Nice. Yeah, we've had this second lot of songs now written since we finished writing last set of songs. We just started going again.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask about that.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah. This is just that one. I think it's just probably one of the parts we enjoy most is just doing writing stuff. Like, playing the shows is sick too. I love that. Like, don't get me wrong. But yeah.
It's definitely probably the part I've found most fulfilling so far. I used to be a real, like, lack of a better term, like, gig pig. I'd just be like, I'm playing 100 shows this year and I'm throwing my back out and I'm breaking equipment. Yeah, nowadays I'm like, nah, it's really good sitting there with your mates, you know, writing, being creative. And then when you're sick of it, you go, all right, we're watching YouTube for 8 hours. I'm showing you guys the funniest thing I've ever seen. Three guys on a computer, we call it. It's great.
But yeah, we've got a couple of shows coming up. We're doing tomorrow night, which is something
which is in the past when this comes out.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so...
Hey, future us, how was the show?
Yeah. Yeah, so Friday just gone. Listening on real time. We're playing. There's a venue down the road from Rick and I that we grew up like playing there, kind of fans. Changed its name now, but so they're doing their birthday show, which got asked to be a part of. So, really looking forward to that. It's going to be,
that'll be fun.
A good bit of fun. Like, our mate Slowburn are playing, which is always
big ups.
Yeah, always sick. And then, to our advanced Diminished Reason, Former Resist, who are like some local legends. It'll be cool to, jump on and just be. Just a fun show, like, have a good time.
That's it. And then, yeah, another another Ballarat show towards the end of the month with War Bear
and Deadweight 80.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, because we're self-booked at the moment, not through anyone, and it's sort of just whatever comes our way, if we're able to kind of just get in front of the right people, you know, not even the right people, but, like, just in front of people, we're happy. We're sort of not too...
Like how we got the opening for volume spot. That was insane.
That was, I wouldn't say it shouldn't have happened, but it's crazy that it did sort of thing.
Yeah, so I was sitting at work and got that email. It's just like, oh, yeah. Oh, shit, what?
Oh, we better get good.
Yeah, for real, right?
Mad. I was going to ask, actually, because I grew up in Werribee. I'm in Sydney now, but I grew up in Werribee, went to school in Bacchus Marsh, actually spent a lot of time in Ballarat, but didn't really get into the gig scene there. What's it like? What's it like that way?
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, everyone's like, it's a really nice place, people. Yeah. I found. Like,
that was probably the big, I wouldn't say the shock, but kind of going to Melbourne. Again, everyone's nice, but, like, there's a real sincereness when it's, like, a regional, because we both grew up here.
Yeah.
Playing shows, and sort of when you're a young kid, they're really good for sort of being like, you know, not quite taking you under their wing, but, you know, just being like, hey, you guys are doing well, here's some constructive stuff just to help move, and, like, you know, yeah, if cool. you want to book, talk to this person.
Yeah,
they're really good for kind of, and it, you know, as anywhere, it ebbs and flows.
It definitely prepped us for, like, when we got into, like, later on playing, like, yeah, shows in Melbourne or doing Adelaide stuff or doing wherever, knowing how to function within, like, for lack of a better term, more serious kind of stuff, of people, like, knowing how things run, and being like, us now being like, oh, cool, yeah, we know what you want from us, cool, we're here, yeah, let's go, kind of thing, so we're not stuffing anybody around.
Even simple stuff, like just staying, you know, if you're an opener, staying till the end.
Yeah.
Someone from the band. Because, like, my very first show, geez, that was a nervous time. But, we're all 16 and we left straight away. We, like, loaded straight out and dipped. And, like, literally someone from one of the other bands messaged our, like, Facebook page. They're like, hey, really good, like, playing last night. By the way, people usually stay till the end if they can.
Oof.
And we were just like, I mean, they meant it with, you know, meant it in a kind of a sincere, nice way. But it was also like, oh, okay, right, well, next one, we'll make sure to stick around, that sort of thing.
So, the long and short of it is, like, I've loved, like, starting playing bar because it's a great place to learn how to act. And, well, that sounds really lame, like, me saying it like that, but, like, just, like, I guess, like, learning certain...
So when you're a teenager, you don't really have that sort of respect for other people built in, I guess, so it's good to kind of learn it in a really safe environment, not, like...
100%, not jumping in somewhere where people are, like... They know what they're doing, and you're just being a disrespectful, like, teenager kind of thing. Like,
because we did that too. No,
yeah, no. You're not, like, screwing people around kind of thing. So it's nice for you. Yeah, jump in and be like, hey, cool. Like, these people are all really nice to us. Let's do the best we can for everyone here kind of thing.
And there's a real camaraderie too. Like, obviously, like, a Nicolas Cage fighter started here. I think the second show I ever played was with their, like, original lineup in 2012, I reckon, we played like that. And, you know, that similar sort of thing, it's really been awesome to see them flourish. Do all that, like Anticline as well, big ups.
Mm.
They've just finished up. That's another band from here that sort of, you know, just grabbed the reins and took off and did really...
They were the best.
I got to fill in for them a couple of years ago. And that was... I was just like, whoa, this is unreal. Yeah. They're so professional.
I loved any chance, like any time, but just go and see an Anticline. They're always so fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
See, well, should we get stuck into the playlist?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Awesome. So the first song we've got here on the list is Wait and Bleed by Slipknot. So who picked that one?
That was me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was a very pivotal, I think for both of us actually, like, so pivotal here in Slipknot for the first time when we were like 13 or whatever. And I remember someone like sent it to me over Bluetooth or whatever.
They were the days.
And like, I didn't, like, I wasn't really interested. Like, I liked like rock and metal music and stuff, like stuff my folks brought me up on. But I wasn't interested in like the screaming, whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I went home from school that night, and I think I'd, like, lost my keys or forgotten them or something. So I was waiting for Umar to get home. And, yeah, so I just listened to these songs that Umar had sent me. And, yeah, Wait and Bleak popped up, and I was like, hey, yo, what is this? And, yeah, it just kind of changed, like, everything for me, like, right there. I was like, oh, cool, I like heavy music. This is awesome. Yeah.
Nah, I feel like yeah. Slipknot was my first favorite band, too.
Mm.
Same sort of thing, although... I was more like, because obviously I got most of my music taste off video games, so Guitar Hero 3 was the real gateway.
Yes.
Like, before I forget being on that, and I was like, yo, them boys is playing guitar. but yeah, and Wait and Bleed was a big one, I know, for me too, even though it wasn't my pick. sorry, not to steal your thing.
yeah, Jesus.
when I was... you know, first on YouTube back in the day and looking at, like, Slipknot stuff and being like, oh, Wait and Bleed Resident Evil music video. What's this? And someone had just put Resident Evil cutscenes over Wait and Bleed. And I was like, that's so yo, cool. This is crazy.
Straight away, if you're on YouTube and there is a heavy music with a Japanese any imagery,
yeah,
you know it's going to be fucking bomb.
Yeah, it's going to be the hardest thing you've heard all season.
Yeah. It's like the quality controls, like your Linkin Park Dragon Ball Z animated music video, we're in.
Yeah. So bad. Yeah.
That's, we got to, I wouldn't say we got to bring it back, but, you know, it's so hidden.
Dial it in. We changed my personality to this. Let's go.
Yeah, it was all over. It was all over.
Yeah, you could definitely write an intro to Goku just forming the spirit bomb, and the song builds as the spirit bomb gets bigger.
Oh, hell yeah, man. You got to breakdown, like, when he kills Frieza. Bang.
Dave, that's got to, someone's got to have, like, cut something into that for sure.
Yeah, for real.
I'm checking that out after this.
100%, man.
Oh, that's mad.
Nice. So, how does that relate to any? Does Wait and Bleed relate to any of the songs on the EP?
Probably not, like, directly to any, but I think in my writing style, it does. We're just, like, a big new metal fan, kind of thing. But yeah, here, like, that just, if I'm writing a heavy part or, like, an aggressive part, that's probably still that first Slipknot album and Iowa as well. Mm. And probably still, like, where I really like to draw just a really meaty.
I remember when we finished the initial demo of Reptile and we were sort of listening back over, we went, damn, this sounds like Slipknot.
Yeah, we did actually, yeah.
That was one where it was just, you know, it's real, like, you know, poundy riff, real aggressive, that sort of thing. And we sort of went, yeah, I guess we do like
it. Yeah, for real. Because I always knew that one of my favorite bands, but I didn't. That song really reaffirmed how, like, much they influenced my like rhythm playing in particular. Mm.
Yeah, sick. Well, let's load that one up and then we'll listen to another and then we'll talk about that on the other side.
Let's go. I felt the air rise up in me, kneel down and clear the stone of leaves. I wander out where you can't see. Inside my shell, I wait and bleed. I felt the air rise up in me.
In my bones, the pain my jaw is fine. You have another thing. I have a chain of thine. The fact So at the top there, we had Wait and Bleed by Slipknot, followed by Death Sentence by Spite. It's a heavy one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was Young Doug's pick, and he couldn't join us because he lives too far away, and I'm not driving like that. I sent the carrier pigeon out this morning, and it's returned with just a little write-up he's given us, and we can riff on it from there.
Oh, somewhere. Nice.
This is in the words of the infamous Rug Lobster.
Yeah, that's good.
He says, "I've got no idea how I found Spite. Probably through Spotify's weird algorithms. Big up Spotify algorithm sometimes. Please put our songs in it." but I found them and I loved the vocalist vocal style and wanted to do vocals like that instead of the basic stuff I was doing. And I would second that. I think, Doug, for such a seasoned vocalist, he's really got a style of his own. He kind of takes the stuff he loves and really, puts it in there.
Oh, for sure.
He's got great control.
Yeah, I got great control. And he's definitely the most energetic out of a lot of us when we're at practice. Like,
we'll
just be like riffing kind of thing, just because, rack. I bet Doug's in that room, like, we're playing to like 10,000 people. Right. Just like, going for it. Yeah. But he sounds great still, and that's the thing, like, it annoys me that I'll run out of breath when I see my clean voice. And then
Bro's doing pit calls.
Yeah,
he's legit like, don't stand still. I'm like, I'm sitting down, bro.
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to tune my guitar and he's calling me a coward, being like, but I think, like, yeah, so him saying Spite, I think, is a perfect way to describe Doug's like vocal style, like just his like energy, just real pump it, go kind of thing. Like,
oh, definitely.
I could have knocked it on the. What's that?
Say? Knocked it on the head.
Yeah, yeah. Knocked nail on the head. Yeah.
Oh right. We forgot one of the instruments. yeah, no. It's definitely even. I didn't become aware of Spite until after we kind of finished everything. But again, listening back, I was like, oh, it makes sense that like Doug likes this band and Josh likes this band. Of like kind of the style is that, very drivey, very, this is heavy. We love heavy.
Yeah. Just real kick in the nuts and send you out the door kind of dealing.
Oh,
yeah.
But enough about what I did at work today. definitely. I can see the influence for sure.
For real. Yeah.
Or even I could see the influence from a vocal point of view. And that's what I was curious to know who picked it because I mean, it makes sense.
For real.
Kind of just said it. It makes sense.
100%, right? Yeah, it's just power.
Oh, yeah. I listened to it today just, kind of prepping a bit because I admittedly hadn't heard the song before. And I listened to it and I went, yeah, I could imagine Doug doing this.
Yeah, for real.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But what I think I really like about it is that Spite's probably a little bit heavier than you guys, but I feel like the vocal delivery, like you said, you can hear that influence. So I think that really aggressive vocals with, the melodic parts you have and how it kind of weaves together, it blends really well.
Thank you.
Spite's a good track.
The contrast and the juxtaposition, I think, has been really interesting to kind of explore for us. Because even like a track like Worm Tongue is a good example of it. It's very, riff heavy, moving forward, and the chorus isn't particularly slow, but it definitely is a dynamic shift.
That's
super fun to explore because we can write waveforms like bricks all day. That's easy done. We've done that. It's called Devil Sex Magic. But it's really cool to explore, actual creativity and have fun like that.
Yeah, it's always fun being like especially like thinking ahead when I'm writing lyrics and stuff. Been like, cool, looking forward to hearing how my kind of whatever vocals I do sit with like Doug's super tough vocals and kind of thing, like in a song like Kavalia where we overlap and stuff.
Mm.
But I'm like, that's just fun for me to be like, oh, yeah. I know Doug's gonna sound sick, just like over the top of this like just weird thing that I'm singing underneath.
No, it's sick. Nice. It works really well.
Thank you.
The next song we've got is "Song for the Dead" by Queens of the Stone Age. Bit of a funky one. I haven't listened to Queens in so long.
So good though.
Same here, man.
Yeah. So good.
This one was Sanford's pick. Since Carrier Pigeon was out, I had to do some recon myself and reach out for a staple. He's let us know. Yeah. "Songs for the Deaf" was the first CD I bought. This is Sanford, not
nice.
after I bought my first drum kit, And I play the album front to back on repeat for years. Mark Langan, Josh Homme, and Dave Grohl, what a combo. And I would second that. Like, what a drummer's album.
True. Real.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. I could, you know, it's hard to imagine listening to that as like a teenage drummer and not just being like, I gotta do this.
Yeah, yeah. Right? This is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Especially like that, you know, Songs for the Dead drum intro, the real like,
dip it, but whatever it is.
It's like, crazy timing, like really just hard, you know, Dave Grohl drumming. So, you know, it's the hardest thing you've ever heard.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. So many fists are going through skins. Like, yeah.
And it's really cool because just because of the different, you know, like we were saying earlier, like the different backgrounds we all have musically, it's cool to see it all kind of come together, hopefully in our sound, where Sevid has more of that sort of, you know,
like a big, you've got a good swing tune. That's how I think of his drumming. Like,
big, powerful snare all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I definitely hear him as like one of those kind of, a drummer's kind of like what I like those Japan Warehouse, old school, like rock drummers, but with his, like, fills that are more like a, I don't know, sometimes you'll hear a fill that I'm like, oh, that's kind of a bit jazzy to me.
Or that's
a bit like, whatever. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, and that was it was very funny because we did MIDI drums for the initial demos, and we got a lot of messages back that were like, bro, I don't have three arms.
Yeah,
like,
what is this?
What is this? Like, we're going to have to work on it. It's like, all right, cool.
Nah, grow a third arm, get it together.
I think that's crazy, though. I think, I mean, we talk to a lot of... we speak to a lot of fellas like on the pod, especially drummers and people that come from that like classical background or different backgrounds. And I think with like Queens of Stone Age, you know, it's a bit more your traditional rock band. It's playing now in like a metalcore band, like you say. I think it just works better, if anything. I don't think I've ever met a drummer who's like grown up just want to play metal and then it just works. I feel like every drummer just has like these crazy eclectic tastes that just kind of brings it all together.
That's it. Gives them, they can give themselves like their own little flavor way kind of thing, which is always fun. Like, I like being, I like being surprised by, well, any instrument really, but like definitely with drums when I sit there, I'm like, that's not what I thought was going to happen. That's cool. Kind of thing like that. I definitely think Sanford will do that for us sometimes too. Cause like Rick said, when we wrote, their program drums initially, and like, they're so stupid, some of the drums we wrote for. And it's like, it's crazy blast beats, but at the same time, you're hitting like the tom in between every like snare, just stupid, like stupid stuff. And so it's already going to be surprising just hearing what a human would play. And then, like, then he come in with just this, like, I don't know, just whatever that Sanford feel is that he has that I like. And yeah, good drummer.
Awesome. Well, let's cue that one up. We've got one more after that, and we'll be talking about the last one. So we'll see you on the other side. Okay, so at the top there we had Queens of the Stone Age, Song for the Dead, and then we had Slayer, Raining Blood, so a pure classic face melter.
Yeah, indeed. That was my pick, of course. Sick. That was, it's like I was saying before, I got into heavy music through Guitar Hero 3, and admittedly the very first stuff was like, you know, Before I Forget by Slipknot, Stricken by Disturbed.
That's a riff,
but like, they're more rock songs, right? They're good. Yeah, they're more rock songs. Slayer, Raining Blood. I go to start playing it. I fail immediately because even on easy, that thing was crazy. And I go, I can't play this again until my parents leave the house because this is genuine evil music. And it was funny. Again, you know, doing reflecting kind of thinking, you know, for, you know, getting a chance to make this little mixtape thing of like what's influenced us.
Yeah.
It's funny to think, you know, when I met my friend Soph, she got me into, like, again, like, Melbourne hardcore and, like, noisy ass, like, power violence and stuff.
Sick.
And I think the common thread there is, like, you know, Raining Blood has that really eerie intro, all kind of rain sounds, and then just into, you know, fast, ridiculous, like, crazy stuff. And that feels like the common thread for all that stuff where I'm really, I got passionate about kind of later in that musical journey. As it applies to Glow, it's really hard to say. We kind of cooked a little bit on the like, noisy stuff.
Yeah.
The intro to our first single, Blessed Be, we recorded White Noise off on our phone, put that into Logic, and then messed around with it.
Sick.
That's sick.
Try to do that. And yeah, again, like to kind of DIYing some of that noisy influence that I have.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, for that kind of influence, it's definitely a big thing, like that whole eeriness of that intro and like the noisiness at the end and stuff is definitely, I think that's a thing we've taken from like that kind of realm for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, we're sure, you know how a lot of bands, they do the quote unquote Slayer riff? Don't know that we have one yet.
We don't have a Slayer riff.
That would be fun. That'd be cool to try.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a lot of my old bands literally had, like, we'd write all our song structures on the whiteboard, and there would literally be, like, Slayer riff.
Oh, that's sick.
And we're like, yeah, this is the best part of the song.
Bro, I need to get a whammy bar so I can hear them Kerry King solos.
I was so stoked to see this song on the list because this was one of the first metal records that I listened to when I was getting into heavy music.
Oh, hell yeah.
I remember, like, we've spoken about it, Dave and I, but like I was a pop punk kid, bit of an emo kid. And then I remember I used to, like, when you used to buy magazines, and I think they were featuring Bring Me the Horizons. I don't think it was Edge of Your Seat. It must have been the second record. And I was like, okay, this was quite extreme compared to the emo stuff I was listening to. And my mates, like, check out these CDs and gave me this. And. That was kind of it for me. That was the bridge because I wasn't quite ready for the crazy vocals,
but I wanted
heavier music. And I think it was cool seeing this come up because we hadn't spoken about a Slayer song yet.
Yeah, true. It's definitely like, it's a perfect way you described it then. I think it's the perfect way to describe that album now. It's like extreme as like you could kind of like, especially for that time, as you could get. But yeah, if like you're still bridging over to the heavier vocals. having like Tom Araya's vocals like that, where they're still angry and aggressive as, but it's not quite, hasn't quite pushed over yet. It's great to be, like, jumping in.
Yeah. Enough to scare your parents, but your friends aren't going to be like, what the heck is this? Which, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because one of my gateways to heavy music as well was I got a CD from a music magazine and it had, I think it was The Come Down by Bring Me the Horizon. And I had that same thing. I was like, I'm not ready for this yet, but they've got swoopy haircuts, so I'm going to like it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys look like me.
Yeah. I wasn't skinny, but otherwise.
And yeah, I think because it must have been Count Your Blessings, because I think the CD had Pray for Plagues on it. Yeah. And that's that vocally, that song's fucking crazy. Oh, especially if you hadn't listened to shit like that before, that was like, that scared you.
Dude, it was insane. I still remember hearing that for the first time. They're like, yo, like, this is a lot.
It was like back in the phone Bluetooth days, as we closely remember them. Like, oh, what I have? I think I had an As I Lay Dying song that you sent me.
That would be a better idea.
I think it might have, oh, no. There was one, and I remember being like, nah, this is too much, it's too heavy, I only like me Slipknot and me Trivium.
Like, Trivium were huge for us, so like, we're getting into music,
big riffs. Slayer's like the naughty cousin to Metallica, aren't they?
Oh, 100%.
Like, your parents would let you listen to Metallica all day long. As soon as they see the cover, there's a song called Raining Blood on the album, Raining Blood, spelt differently.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's like Pantera.
It's like, I've got to know what this is about. Like, we're in.
Listen, it's like Angel of Death. You're like, oh, this is a real mean song. And you find out about what it's about. You're like,
oh my gosh. Oh my God, yeah.
I feel bad.
We should put that out.
Well, that kind of transitions quite funnily to the last track, which you've got, Jump by Van Halen.
Yeah!
We love it.
Man, dude, like, Van Halen, all the, like, 80s bands are definitely, like, that's my, for the most part, like, most of what I listen to. But we put Van Halen down because, like, when Rick and I are, like, driving to any band rehearsal show, doing whatever, we're listening to, it's usually the same playlist of stuff, which Van Halen popped up so many times, and just like, cool, let's party, let's have fun, like, we're here to have a good time kind of thing, like, just a part of, I guess, not taking ourselves too seriously as well, but,
Well, that's exactly it. It's, you know, when you're a, you know, a local musician for however many years that we all have been, it's easy to kind of lose sight of why you do it, because you're like, oh, man, you know, it's frustrating, feels like we're stuck, but then you listen to Van Halen and you go, music's fun.
Yeah, this music's is the incredible. I've ever heard.
Bro's talking to the cocaine ghost, like, yeah, this rules. I love this.
For real, man. Like, they're so, like, I still remember hearing Van Halen for the first time when I was like a wee lad. And it's this song, like, Jump played on Channel Max, I think. And I remember there was Van Halen, but I couldn't remember like what the song was. So I remember asking Marvin Van, like, what's that Van Halen song where the singer's like jumping up in the air and doing like cartwheels and everything? She's like, that any of them, that does not narrow it down like, at all. Like,
it's literally every song they wrote.
For real. And I was just like, oh, cool, this must be a lot of fun then. Let's go.
Like, you know, like the one with the guys in the tight pants?
But dude, all those 80s bands, like my favorite band ever is like Guns N' Roses. And I was like, so that Van Halen, Skid Row, like all that stuff. It's just like, yeah, this is just feel good.
Yeah. Like, and weirdly, there's almost a little bit of that ethos in some of what we do. There's that riff in Bad Juju, the real like party riff we call it.
Yeah.
And I always go, man, this would have crushed like 30 years ago.
Yeah, 1986, we would have been making the big bucks.
This riff would have like fed families.
We would have made it out of the hood with that one.
Straight back to the suburbs for us.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny you say that before, like having this song is like your kind of ethos or your the way you guys go about it. And I think, I don't know about you, Phil, but when bands say that, the output is generally better because there's not pressure of having to make it good. It's what you guys like and you love it, and then it comes out being better because there's no pressure of having to make it a certain way.
Yeah, of course. Like, cause I like to think, like, any of the songs I've written or we've written or whatever, I'm like, I'm not writing for anyone other than, like, myself or these guys, kind of thing. I'm like,
People hate it. That's fine. Done that. I liked it, kind of thing. So that's definitely, yeah, I guess our, probably as deep as we're going to get to, but that's our Van Halen ethos of being like, let's just have fun. Do what you want to do. Let's go.
It's hard to get too deep on the Van Halen ethos without, you know, years of stimulant abuse. So we had to find another way to kind of do it.
Nah, I absolutely love the energy, and I think, like, Dave, we've been talking about it, like, with us. Like, it's so easy to take yourself too seriously.
Absolutely.
Especially in, like, the heavy scene. Like, everyone's cryptic. It's all about, you know, the next move and shit, and it's like, fuck.
We did try it. We initially were like, yeah, we're going to wear, like, no graphic shirts. We're going to be, you know, conceal our identities in promo photos.
Yeah, be like real serious.
Yeah, and then we went, wait a minute, we're not serious people.
No.
We're funny.
Yeah. We do silly stuff. Sitting there riffing, being idiots. So it's like, it's going to seem so disingenuous if we try and do this.
Yeah.
And be these like super stoic, serious people. Because that don't work for us because
it's not us.
We never shut up. So like, we love
to be mysterious, but we've never kept the thought to ourselves. I'm currently wearing my NASCAR shirt. Which fits in a Van Halen.
Yeah. Rednecks. For real.
If you took yourself too seriously, we'd never get the make this room look like Macca's at 6 a.m. line. So
100%.
Well, that crazy didn't get it either because I just went.
Those are seriously the best parts of shows, those little quips that come out.
What's that? 100%. That Siri one you hit was a banger.
Oh, yeah, start of All That We Are. I was like, yeah, I got Siri on the feature. No one did not crush in the room, but we laughed.
Yeah. Well, I heard it back on the video. I was like, that was hilarious. I had no idea you said that. And Rick's like, yeah, dude, there's anyone else.
And Blink stole it. I saw
did they?
Blink.
What?
Yeah. Oh. He said, hey, Siri, message mum. I'm going to be home later.
You know what?
Like that.
That's it. All right.
Get New York on the blower.
Yeah.
We're taking it.
Get Tom on the horn. We're starting beef with Link.
And they took our aliens thing, too.
Yeah, that's right.
We took them from
there. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
That's fair. I had something to make.
I wanted to be the first guy to find aliens.
Damn it, they beat us.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing they beat us to. Wow, that derailed so well.
Yes, let's go.
Sorry, that's my fault.
That's all right.
We love that shit.
We were taking bets in the group chat how fast it was going to derail. We actually held it together surprisingly well.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys should be like, feel definitely grateful I haven't gone on a 20-minute like tangent about like why Kiss are the greatest band of all time yet, because that happens about four times.
Shut it down.
I reckon if Dave didn't interject at the start before we started recording saying let's record, we would have talked for like 25 minutes about nothing.
Yeah, for real. I love that. That's the best.
When you get riffing, it's like Pringles. When you pop, you can't stop. You gotta keep riffing, baby.
Oh, God. Was that straight off the dome?
I don't know.
Alright, so that's a no. Why'd you have to...
Oh. Anyway. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I want Pringles now.
Yeah, same, actually.
We might go get some.
Yeah, we'll have to go for a bill after this. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the playlist. Thanks heaps for submitting those tracks.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, really it's been fun.
Is there anything you guys want to plug before we send you off?
Hey, again, future us, how'd the EP go?
It's going to go great. It went great.
Oh, yes.
We're off to, off to America because of the huge
success.
Whoa,
that's crazy, man.
We've got Iron Maiden, they're opening for us next week. And then we're putting out Bon Jovi's Greatest Hits the week after. We're good to go.
Yeah.
All day.
In seriousness.
Right.
Please come to our show on the 22nd of March at Eastern Station in Ballarat. Oh, no, just the Eastern now. It's War Bear, Deadweight 80, Vault Hill, and I'm forgetting a band, and I will retroactively fix that. And shout out Slowburn, shout out Identity Era, that's the homies. Shout out Earthbound, they were really nice to us at the volume show. We were a bit like, I mean, like we were saying before, we were a bit like, oh man, we're just from this country bumpkin town, everyone's so cool.
Everyone's going to hate us with
dorks. Yeah, with dorks, we're riffing, and they were so funny. They were so genuine, their music rules. Okay. Shout out NT and Sin.
No, yeah.
Shout out Buck Cherry.
Oh, dear.
Shout out Eddie Van Halen, the real one, you'll be missed.
And actually, real talk, our old guitar player Mario, his R&B project Simbrain.
Yes, go stream Circles.
He's definitely got way too much talent to be in Glow, so it worked very well for him because he's putting out bangers.
And it's working well for us. He's still writing with us.
That's true, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out our new guitar player Jackson, who will probably be in the band by the time this comes out.
Oh yeah, I guess that's where we can announce this too. We finally found a second guitar player, so he's a very nice one.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, we waffled on.
Yeah. Nah, it's fine. the EP is amazing.
Thank you so much. This has been such
a fun chat.
We've had a blast. This has been great, yeah.
And we can't wait to hopefully catch you at a show soon.
Yeah, oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Come to Sydney.
Oh, all right, let's go.
Once that roadmap gets fixed, if I have to drive a car in Sydney, I might lose it.
I got you, buddy. Jump in the Commodore. Let's go.
Someone dropped a bowl of cooked pasta and went, that's the roadmap, baby. Like, what's going on? Anyway, no beef, Sydney. Much love.
Nah, you can have the beef with Sydney.
Oh, good.
I haven't seen anyone rage like Phil driving in Sydney.
It's good to know we're not alone then.
Yeah.
It takes over, yeah. I've been here for 3 years and I still can't fucking hack it.
You're stronger than me. I would have been on the first. I would have walked if I had to.
Yeah, more power to you, brother.
Good. I was in Sydney for 20 minutes and got rear-ended. Like,
whoa! Well, it's funny. When I moved here, I sold my car. I didn't get a car till July last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, true.
That's the move.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for having us. This is unreal. This is our first ever podcast and we were very nervous, but you've helped us through.
For real, yeah.
You guys were great.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, like this has been a blast.
How about that ride in?
Jump by Van Halen is going to be playing soon and I'm hyped after that chat.
We're going to make it like a Macca's at 6 p.m. for sure.
Oh man, those calls. I need to see that live.
Me too.
So fellas, when we come and see you guys, I think March 22nd, right? Is that show? I think we talked about. We'll link it below anyway, but I want to see some crazy calls.
I'm all here for it. Make him as.
I didn't even actually say it in the chat, but they brought up, we had a Macca's reference, we had a Hungry Jack's reference, and a Nando's reference. So I think these boys like their food, but.
Like us. We're missing the kernel, but we'll fix that.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Thanks you guys. Once again, for coming on, love the EP, love the chat. Very good to have characters in the scene, I think, and people that just are playing their music for the love of music, and it's sick.
I love it, man. Ballarat boys as well. Like, you know, I grew up in the west of Melbourne, went to school in Bacchus Marsh, spent a bit of time down there, and it's a good part of the world. If you haven't been, get to Ballarat.
Absolutely, it's a sick part of the world. So thanks everyone for listening. Please don't forget to follow, subscribe, and leave a rating and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It helps the show a lot. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at press.con.pod on both platforms.
Thank you again, actually, to everyone who picked up a copy of the record that we did. Anyone who's picked up a tea, go and check out our website, the pressconferencepodcast.com.
Yes.
Is that right? You can find a link to our store, a bit about us, a contact form if you want to send us some funny messages, or if you're a band, you know, Glow were the first that used our little contact form. You can be the second second doesn't always suck, so it's all right. And thanks again for everyone who's listening. We love the feedback and convos, so if you got anything to tell us about that you love or hate us, let us know. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. We're about to play jump around.
Turn up the volume and just enjoy it, because this is a fun one.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Show!